While you slept, another bank fails. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. You're waking up to the US's second largest bank failure. Overnight, a deal has been done for the troubled California bank First Republic. Regulators have taken control and agreed a deal to sell assets worth $230 billion to JP Morgan Chase, America's largest bank. It's the third bank to collapse in the US this year. Last week, First Republic's shares plunged after it admitted depositors had withdrawn $100 billion in the first 3 months of the year. Let's talk to banking analyst Francis Coppola. Hi, Francis.
Hi there.
Quick one, why are we here?
Really, the story goes back to March, when First Republic Bank got caught in the fallout from the failure of Silicon Valley Bank. A lot of people removed their deposits. And really, from that time onwards, it was only a matter of time.
So if you're a First Republic customer, what does this mean? I suppose for them, one of the most important things to know is whether their deposits are secure.
First Republic Bank depositors are fully secure. Your deposits have been taken on by JP Morgan. So when your local branch reopens, it will be reopening as a branch of JP Morgan, and you will be a customer of JP Morgan. And the same really applies, I think, to anybody who's got loans.
Now, JP Morgan is actually the US's largest bank. Have we now got a banking competition problem in the US?
We certainly have now a bank that is arguably much larger than any of its rivals. But we should remember that actually a lot of US banking still takes place in small banks. So even with the existence of what will now be a very large bank dominating the international banking space, it's not going to be a total domination of the domestic banking space.
Francis, we've been speaking a lot about banking collapses. Do you think after this we'll see a period of calm in the banking sector?
No, sadly, I think there's more to come. I don't think the Fed has ended its interest rate rises yet. And we've already seen several banks struggling because of high interest rates depressing the value of their assets. And I think there's more to come, particularly in the medium-sized bank sector, the regional banks.
Last one for you. How much is this deal costing?
Well, we haven't had a figure for how much this is costing JP Morgan. We have had an estimate from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation about the cost to the deposit insurance fund. They've estimated $13 billion. So that potentially would be paid for by levies on other banks.
So Francis Coppola, banking analyst, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
And there'll be more on this story in our later programmes. Now, let's do the numbers. A few weeks ago, we had official data out of China that says the world's second largest economy grew faster than expected in the first quarter. But new numbers say factory output in China is lagging because of weak global growth, which has extended a second weekly drop in oil prices. Finally, the British chipmaker Arm is going ahead with its much-awaited IPO. Arm, which is owned by Japan's SoftBank, said it has been filing for a US listing. India has overtaken China to become the world's most populous country. According to UN estimates, there's now 1.4 billion people there. The country's youth make up 65% of that massive number, and experts agree that offers huge potential for economic growth. However, there's one big problem: not enough women in the workforce. In the last two decades, the number of working women has fallen to record lows. But as the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee reports, there are efforts afoot to change that.
It's a busy day at an auto parts factory in southern India's town of Hosur. There are hundreds of women lined up churning out shock absorbers for motorcycles. A few years ago, this would have been a rare sight in what was once a male-dominated manufacturing industry.
This company, Gabriel, employs over 20% of women, and Roshni is one of them. Roshni recalls how 6 years ago she travelled over 1,700 kilometres from her hometown to work in this factory in the state of Tamil Nadu.
I wanted to try something new, something challenging.
It's a welcome change, especially because women account for less than 20% of India's manufacturing sector. Companies like Gabriel say it makes sense to invest in female employees since their attrition rate is much lower than male workers. Away from the grind of factories, in rural parts of India, agriculture still remains the largest employer of women. In a country where half the population is female, the last two decades saw the number of working women fall by nearly 15%.
In these factories and these sectors,
the farming sector might be providing employment, but that trend has to change, according to Professor of Economics at India's Ashoka University, Ashwini Deshpande.
If you want to gain a benefit from the demographic dividend, the youth of the country have to be productively employed. If you want to gain from the gender dividend, the women of the country have to be productively employed. So I think that creating non-farm opportunities in the rural areas where women don't have to only look for agricultural work, but they can look at, you know, manufacturing or secondary sector work, would be the way to go if you wanted to reap the productive potential of women.
Back in the factories, it's another day as men and women arrive for their daily shifts. As they walk towards their duty stations, India is also taking steps towards change. But the country still has a long way to go if it wants to turn its rising population to be a boon and not a burden.
In Hosur, Tamil Nadu, I'm the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee for Marketplace.
And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham for producing, Tom Clark on the tech today. Our editor is Joe Critcher. I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.